official app workstation. North Shore 104.9 WBOQ Gloucester.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're all celebrating Mother's Day and thinking of your moms today because it is Mother's Day. It happens every year, second Sunday of May, and it is Mother's Day. And who would have thought that it would have snowed before Mother's Day? It is also freezing out this morning. I got up, I'm looking out my backyard. Our pool is open, but no one's going swimming in it. But it is kind of cool to see the water rippling by and the lawn furniture out in the backyard and stuff, but man, it was cold. And that snowstorm yesterday, fortunately, it didn't accumulate to anything, but some of those flakes that were falling in the morning, they were some decent sized flakes. And then late at night, I didn't know if it was a dust storm or a dirt storm or something. And the wind's blowing around, but I looked out the window and I said to Laura, my wife, I said, I think that's snow. And it was like snow whipping around, little ice pellets and stuff. It was wild. At least that's what it looked like out here in North Andover, and that's where I am. I'm broadcasting to you live from my home in North Andover today. It is the start of week 9 for us working from home. Hopefully, we are going to start returning to our office. Hopefully, sometime soon, we will all start to gradually integrate back into society, into the economy, into the world, and start to get this thing going again. It has been challenging, but I think we've all done a really good job following rules. I mean, I think that's one of the things that was the biggest fear for everybody was how well would people follow rules and guidelines when this whole coronavirus thing set in. And I mean, we're getting frustrated now. People are starting to wiggle their way out of the house and into different types of settings where they feel a little bit more comfortable connecting with a friend or two, albeit socially distanced or with a mask or whatever, but realizing that, you know, maybe we can start to take some baby steps in. State of Massachusetts seems to want to be one of the last states to reopen. I think 47 states have an opening plan right now. The only three that don't right now are Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. But we'll get there. We'll get there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of cases here. Massachusetts was a hot spot for a while, and we all want to be as careful as we possibly can be. Yet, we do need to get back to the real world as well. But I'll tell you, I was out this weekend, just driving around a little bit, had to swing by the office to pick up something, and I was over on Route 114 in Peabody and Danvers. I was amazed at the number of cars that were out driving around, despite the fact that all these businesses are open. I don't know if people just wanted to get in their car and drive around, but there's people that are out there. I mean, it's interesting. You see cars on the road, but then you get up to where the North Shore Mall is, which is across the street from where my office is, and the parking lot is dead empty. Marion, my business partner, she was telling me that she had swung by the office last week, and she saw that there was about 8 cars in the North Shore Mall parking lot, kind of tailgating, people hanging out. And I guess one of the security vehicles came by and asked them to break it up and separate. But, you know, we're having to do what we have to do. But I'm looking forward to the day when, I'm looking forward to the day when I can walk into Alto Forno, which is right underneath our office, and go in there for drinks and dinner and be able to hang out with everybody. that day is coming, folks, and it's going to come sooner than we think. I mean, if someone had told you, in March, be prepared to be quarantined in your home for at least 10 weeks or 8 weeks, you would say, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way that the world is going to come to a standstill and follow these orders. Well, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job. I really do. And it's not our nature here in America to be told what to do. That's the value of having freedoms. But sometimes we need to sacrifice for others and even sacrifice for ourselves, too. And so kudos to all of us that have continued to comply and those that will continue to comply and do the best they can. And oftentimes, frankly, it's the moms that are making us do it. Because I know me, I'd be looking to break the rules a few times, and so would some of my boys. But it's the moms that keep us in line. And so here's to the moms today on Mother's Day. Hope you're all being celebrated. You're being wooed by your children. You're seeing thoughtful, whether it's gifts, acts of kindness, whatever it is. Each year, we tell a story, and I've been doing this 8 years now on North Shore 104.9. We go to a website called salary.com, where they actually put together this report on what the value of mom's time really is. If mom got a paycheck, especially if you were a stay-at-home mom, if mom got a paycheck, what would mom be worth? And if you want to go there, you can Google it. You can go to salary.com. This year, for whatever reason, there is not a 2020 salary.com report. Maybe it's because people are socially distancing and maybe not going to the office. But there used to be a place where you could put in this information with your mom's name and they would print out a certificate and you could print it out with a value of it and everything. But just to let you know, according to in 2019, salary.com stated that a mom's job's value, the value of a mom was $178,000. So if you're feeling a little underprivileged today, mom, just know that on paper, it says you're worth $178,000 and the kids need to take care of you, and your husband or spouse or partner or whomever needs to be taking care of you because you're worth a six-figure income. And so, because here's some of the things that moms do. So it talks about examples of positions that moms play because they have what's called a hybrid role. You know, mom, it's not working a factory line doing the same thing every single day. Mom has to balance a ton of things. Mom has to be, especially today in this quarantine world, an academic advisor. Sometimes mom has to be an accountant, an art director, an athletic director, the buyer of the house, the CEO, a coach, a daycare teacher, a dietitian, an instructor, the event planner, and the executive housekeeper, the facilities director, the groundskeeper, the interior designer, the janitor, the judge, the laundry manager, the logistics analyst, the maintenance supervisor, the network administrator, photographer, plumber, public school teacher, psychologist, recreational therapist, the nurse, the social media therapist, the tailor, and the person who has to figure out how to balance all this work-life stuff. Mom, that's a lot of stuff that you do. You certainly don't get enough credit for all that you do. And here I am on the radio today saying to my own wife, to Laura, if she's listening, and I think hopefully she's sleeping today because we promised that she could sleep in today. She was planning on it, actually. But Laura, thank you to you for all that you do and for making our kids' lives special, for my life special, for everything that you do for the house, for making us feel good about what we do for others as well. And that's one of the things that I know that Laura takes great pride in, is making sure that others are taken care of. And she's tried to inspire that in all of us. And I hope that you will do the same for all of your moms and those that are special to you. I am missing my own mom today. She has been gone from us for about seven and a half years now, and I will go visit her at the cemetery later on today. But, all right, so enough with all the mom stuff, though that we feel that there's real, that's not very nice. I mean, we should never be enough with the mom stuff. But I want to put something into perspective for you. You know, I told you that the salary of a mom, of a stay-at-home mom this year, was $178,000, right? Well, get this. This report came out that talked about, there was this sphere that I saw, and I'm trying to find who put it out there, I'm not sure, but it broke down in all of these various segments, what it was like what it was like to earn money. Who's earning different segments? And I thought it was interesting. You know, we talk about that the average income in America of an individual is around $55,000. But did you know that 46.5% of total income earners in America make less than $30,000? And 10% of anybody who works, 10% of total earners make more than $100,000. So mom, remember when I told you make $178,000? If you actually got a paycheck, you'd be in the top 10% most highest paid individuals in America. But think of this for yourself as well. If you're making $100,000, and I know folks that are making $100,000 sometimes think to themselves, my goodness, I don't know how I can even cover my expenses on $100,000 income. Well, congratulations. You're among the top 10% of income earners in America. Top 10%. I know that might sound strange, but remember, there's 90% of Americans that are making less than you. There's 46% of Americans that are making less than $30,000 a year. So one of the things that we're learning is being quarantined at home is how to manage our finances a little bit differently. Life's a little bit different. Our spending habits are a little bit different. What we do with our time, with our money is all a little bit different. And it's been a reality check. And it's a good lesson in personal finance. And that's what we try to do here on this radio station each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. is provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. And throughout the course of today's show, I'm going to continue to try to do that. And if you do have some questions, if you want to call in, we can actually accept your phone calls today because we are live in studio. The phone number, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. But if not, I got plenty of stuff to talk about. So we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I've got more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need dollar, dollar.
This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Stay home. Stay home.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just across the street from the currently closed North Shore Mall and just above the currently closed and hopefully opening soon Alto Forno Restaurant in Peabody, Massachusetts. We're on the second floor at 41 Cross Street. Our name is on the building, so if you're out driving, and there seems to be a lot of people out driving these days, maybe just aimlessly driving, but you can see our name on the building. Hopefully, we will return to our offices soon. But many people do ask me, you know, we've been closed physically in our office for about 9 weeks. How does Friedman Financial continue to operate? How are we continuing to provide services to our clients and answer questions for them? Well, you know, yes, we are working from home. We have a great digital technology system where it's as if I'm in the office. So if you were to call our phone number 978-531-8108. My assistant Jody will answer the phone. She'll then hit the intercom button. It rings in my house, and we're happy to talk to you. And one of the things that's all of a sudden this week, the gears have turned a little bit. All of a sudden, people are starting to rethink that maybe it's time to start talking to some people about financial planning again, getting their financial house in order, trying to line things up properly. I know we were a little spooked for a while when the market pulled back in March. It has responded back very nicely in May. We've got a ways to go, of course, but I think good times are ahead and you need to be invested. You need to be ready for this burst that is about to come. I don't know whether it's going to come in June, in August, or March of 2021. Don't know when it's going to happen, but when it does come, you're going to want to be there for the ride. And I think it's real important that you're well positioned. So people have been calling in, asking questions. Yeah, we're even scheduling initial consultations for our clients. I did a couple of them through Zoom technology this past week. But while we're here on the radio, we are here to answer your questions. Our phone number, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. And we do have a caller on the line. His name is Jim. He's from Hamilton. Jim, how are you this morning?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How can we help you?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have two daughters, one going in ninth grade, one going in 12th grade.
Yep.
And I'm a single parent. I'm, you know, not with my wife and kids anymore. So I have one income, and I'm trying to think about colleges. Do I try to max out my stuff, playing the catch-up game, and have them worry about financial aid scholarships and minimizing student loans? Or do I go into retirement? I'm 56 now. I'll probably work till 70 at least. Or do I go broke and make sure they're okay? And then I also need some life insurance.
Yeah, you got a lot of things to have to contend with. Why is now
the good time to plan and really position myself, because we're looking at colleges?
Sure it is. Have you had a conversation with your children about the costs of colleges?
Preliminary, but it's hard at 17 and 14. They know everything. I don't know much.
Yeah. Well, certainly not the ninth grader, but your junior who's in college, who's in high school right now, have they given any thought to what college they might want to go to, what field they might want to pursue, and what the cost of college is?
Yeah. Probably undeclared for the first year or so to really determine what's the best field of study.
Mm-hmm.
So starting out undeclared, Temple University is a decent school. They offer up to 100% financing, which doesn't mean free, but it could mean putting a student loan package together with scholarships and grants, and they're smart kids. But locally, Massachusetts has great schools, and state mm-hmm. tuition is obviously more affordable than private schools, but kids see things and hear things. They live in a rich community near the Cape with their mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why not go to a private school like Newport, Rhode Island, when you can, you know, do that, but then later on they're haunted with student loans forever.
Yeah, and so that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Do you want to haunt them with student loans, or do you want to sacrifice your retirement to support them so that they can go to a prestigious name school? You know,
if they get out of college, what's their income going to be? I'm not sold that $70,000 a year and going in massive debt. You might break even in your 40s if you don't have a big income.
That's right. Well, let's kind of back up. I mean, I've got my own philosophy on how people might approach college that don't have a specific major in mind. Because I mean, I look at it that it costs $70,000 to go to some of the private schools out there, but it's a lot cheaper to go to a local state school. And my feeling is until you really know what you want to do, why would you spend $70,000 just for the ego trip for both the parents and the kids? You know, it's a lot easier to transfer into a private school in your junior year than it is to get into some private schools in your freshman year. And at the end of the day, let's say you went to University of Massachusetts, University of Lowell, Bridgewater State, whatever it is, for your freshman and sophomore year. When you graduate from college, let's say you went to Temple for your junior and senior year, you're going to walk away with a certificate of graduation from Temple University, not from Bridgewater State or UMass. So if it's all about the ego thing, you know, you can do that and actually save yourself some money too. I mean, that's one way
even
to play
if they
that.
They went to a community college.
They could do that too. Because what I heard from you just saying here on the radio, it might be an ego thing. Forget about the money part.
Yeah,
it's about
a lot of peer pressure.
What's that?
There's a lot of peer pressure from the higher wealthy families.
On who?
And
on the kids or on you?
Go to a bad school, you know.
Wait a second. Is the peer pressure on the kids or is the peer pressure on you?
No, I think the kids influence each other, especially in towns where there's some more affluent people.
Yeah, but, you know, and, every town, I don't care whether you're in Hamilton or Lexington or Salem, you know, there is affluence, but there is also the regular person, too. And then there's a lot of people who appear to be affluent that don't have much money at all. So you got to, right. I mean, and right now, I would think, in my own opinion, if your kid's a junior, they're not thinking about colleges. They're just thinking, how do I get through my senior year, or will my senior year even happen? I have a feeling that this, the prestige and the names and the of these schools is more a peer pressure amongst us as parents. And we have to somewhat get over that, because we have to help and guide our children so that they understand what our personal finances. One of the things I would advise to you, to start opening up to your children about what your personal, what the personal financial situation looks like in your home. It sounds like you're divorced and you're having to manage through that. You don't have life insurance for yourself. You actually asked when we started here about sacrificing your own retirement or putting yourself in debt so you could put your kids through college. Is that something that you want to do? Is that something that your children want you to do for them? Those are important questions. And I think we avoid many of those questions simply because we don't want to have them. And this is important time. You know, certainly I think it's a little too early for your ninth grader to have that conversation. But as your 11th grader, and I've got one myself, I've got a junior, you know, they're starting to think about SATs. They're starting to think about all the stuff that they have to do to make sure that they're lined up properly for college. What is it that they want to do, and what's it going to cost, and what's going to be the financial risk and liability when they're all out, when all is said and done? Is it going to be on them? Is it going to be on you? And how is that going to change your financial life moving forward? I think those are the big questions. Have you saved any money, Jim, for college at all right now?
Not much, because I started my own small business and I put a lot into that about 8 years ago, and it's hard getting it off the ground.
Sure.
So I reverted back to working for someone else again about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a lot saved up for them for college or even myself.
How about your wife, or your ex-wife, I should say?
She's doing pretty good. She lives in a very low expense life. She moved back in with her mom, and the kids have a great life in a great small town.
Mm-hmm.
So she's probably got, my guess is $10,000-$15,000 plus another $20,000 in life insurance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would tend to think that your best bet is to explore the state programs, the state schools, and if your kids are good students, I think you'd be amazed at the kind of scholarships and loans and grants that they'll be able to get. If they're good students, some of the state programs would be eager to have some great students. I mean, look, Hamilton Wenham has a great high school and a great school system. So they're going to get some fabulous students, some intelligent people, and you could get some great benefits there. Let them excel at some of the state-run programs. And then if the time is right, if they've actually found a major, then you begin to explore other loan opportunities, other types of borrowing mechanisms, if it makes sense for them to head to a private university. But based upon the situation that you're telling me, I would tell them that private schools are going to, I'm sorry, going to have to be off the table for freshman and freshman year. And that's what you can afford. Okay. That's the advice I'd give them.
That's excellent advice. Thank you. And the last question I have is, I finally get to go back to work on May 18th.
Yep.
Do I start putting money aside for me, or set up a uniform gift to minor like I have account or whatever, and try to save a little bit for them and not have my nest egg?
Well, I think that's walking a balancing act right now. So let me ask you this. Do you have an emergency fund? Do you have an account at the bank that has 3 to 6 months of your expenses put aside in the event something were to happen to you?
Probably about 2 months.
All right. The first thing I would do is work towards getting that to 3 to 6 months. That's the first thing I'd do. And if you want to start saving a little bit towards the kids' college, that's fine. But it's not worth investing the money, certainly not for a junior, because you're going to be taking the money out a year or two from now. So that's just accumulating money in a bank account. If you want to put some money aside for your ninth grade and maybe invest that, that's a different story, where you started putting money aside, even if it's $50 a month, putting something aside. But don't sacrifice yourself either. Find that balance. You don't want to find yourself at 65 years old saying, well, hey, I put my kids through school, but now I've got nothing. You got to find that right balance. Your kids are going to be figure out ways to earn some money as well when they're out of school. You want to help them, but you want them to be responsible as well. All right, Jim, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. Have a great day, and enjoy your day. And good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
This is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. Our phone number here, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. We are here providing financial advice in a language that you can understand. If you have a question for us, give us a call, 800-370-1049. I wanted to mention that, you know, many people have been talking about, oh my goodness, the stock market, and you see the stock every day. It seems like when you turn on the news, the market's up 400 points, down 400 points, up 800, down 800. It's back and forth and wobbly like that. That is not normal, folks. That is not normal. And in fact, it's especially not normal when the market opens up, let's say 400, but ends down 400 and it wobbles like that. That is absolutely not normal. What's been interesting over the past week or so, the market has actually been hovering around where it opened at, which gives us a sense of somewhat stability, saying that the eyes are no longer on markets. The eyes are now on a vaccine. The eyes are now on when will we be able to reopen safely and how quickly can we feel comfortable that we can start to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And I know the people are working. I think we can all feel the people are working as feverishly as they can to get a solution to this problem. We want it to come out safely. But the reality is, I don't care what mechanism or tool they come up with, there are going to be challenges along the way. I find it very interesting that, you know, I've been having this conversation with a lot of folks about many who have applied for unemployment. And we are now sitting at an unemployment rate of somewhere around 15%. Unofficially, it could be closer to 20%. More than 30 million people out of work. But these 30 million people, it's unlike 2008, 2009, where these people were out of work for close to 2 years. I think many of these people that have filed for unemployment will be out for maybe a quarter of the year, 13 weeks, maybe even 20 weeks. Because here's the dilemma that we have right now. You're listening to stories about businesses starting to open, and people asking folks to come back to work. And what's happening are many people who are being asked to come back to work are saying, no, I don't want to. And they can use the excuse, or it's a legitimate excuse, that I don't know if I feel safe. But there's also another reason why they don't want to go back to work. And you know what that is? They're making more money staying at home. Yeah, there's some kind of a moral dilemma that we're facing here. And it's becoming more and more serious because the person that's getting impacted by this is not the employee, but the employer. The employer of small businesses is, in my opinion, getting screwed right now because they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They don't know what to do. If they open, they run the risk of continuing to having to pay all of their expenses and buying inventory, but not having employees that want to come back to work for them. So now they have to invest in finding other employees somewhere else. But they want to feel certain that their employees that they've had before could come back to work. It's a dilemma. And we're going to continue to talk about this because I think this is a challenging issue. And perhaps if you're a small business owner and you're facing some questions about how do I go about opening properly without sacrificing my business in doing so, give us a call. We can talk about that. It's 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. We are talking about financial advice in a language you can understand, anything from the stock market to the coronavirus to life insurance to Social Security to retirement planning to college planning. We can do it all. We'll try to juggle all of your questions and address all of your issues, but we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 1049.
South by Southwest, no more Disneyland, I guess. No more basketball events, all eyes on the president. Facebook full of scientists, amazing, I did not know this. All the posts and all the memes and government conspiracies. We didn't spread the virus, because we were all at home. We had nowhere to go. We didn't spread the virus.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. we can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
I love some of these parodies that keep coming on. People are getting more and more creative. I don't know if you follow a group called the Holderness Family. If you follow them on Facebook, it seems like each and every day they come up with another video spoof, video parody about what's been going on with this coronavirus. So many things to do. People have gotten so, so creative. And I absolutely love it. I love all these. Just look, think about the creativity that's happened just in the past 6 to 8 weeks. How many parades have you seen going around your neighborhood? Well, if you get out and in your car, these birthday parades that are going on. People are coming up with all sorts of ideas to make the most of this challenging situation. In fact, just last Sunday, we had Jen Rivers on the radio. Jen is a parent in North Andover who decided to start up this thing, Adopt a Senior program in North Andover, Massachusetts. My son happens to be a senior here as well. The inquiries and the support she got from families, over 890 families have reached out to her to say, hey, how can I support a senior in North Andover? Delivering signs, balloons, cookies, whatever, from a social distance, have a picture done. And it got so much success over this past week. Perhaps it was because we brought her here on North Shore 104.9. But last night, the whole story was broadcast on a channel, was WBZ, or I think it's Channel 4, or the CBS station, whichever one that is, at the 11 o'clock news. They did a whole story about the support or the Adopt a Senior program that Jen Rivers has put together. It was really great. They took out pictures of all sorts of people getting things delivered to them. We've really become creative in this period of time to do the best we can. And I hope you're taking advantage of the time you have at home with your family, with yourself, getting a little healthier perhaps. I know it's tough. But more than anything else, today is Mother's Day. If you haven't remembered, I hope this is a reminder to you. I think CVS and a few stores are open if you need to go out and get a card or something. But it is Mother's Day, and hopefully mom might still be sleepy. You can slip out a little bit. Stores are open. Dunkin' Donuts is open. And hey, if you didn't hear this past week, Starbucks opened. That's right. Starbucks opened this week. So 90% of Starbucks are now open on either a takeout or a drive-through basis. So that was kind of a treat for us this week, which was kind of nice. And I can't wait for businesses to start opening. But businesses are facing a dilemma. My brother runs a massage therapy business in Boston. He's facing a dilemma. You know, how do you socially distance by giving sports massages? Kind of tough thing to do there. And even if you wanted to have inquiries from people who say, okay, I'm comfortable doing it, will the employees want to come back and work there? What if you're a retail operation? What if you're what if you fix phones at the mall? Whatever the job is that you have, what if you sell mattresses? Here's the problem. Even if these businesses can start to open in the next couple weeks, will employees come back? And like I said, it might not be about worrying about catching the virus. Many employees, though they can use that as an excuse, which is a valid excuse, don't get me wrong, but in reality, they're making more money staying at home. Get this, I got a call this past week from a client of ours. He's 84 years old, and he still continues to work part-time just because he enjoys doing some work. He makes $180 a week working part-time. And he decided to file for unemployment when the business he was at closed down for a bit. So he's getting a check for roughly $90, half of his $180, plus $600. Yeah, he's getting the $600 check too. So why in the right mind would he want to go back to work? And he said, and he's complaining. He says, you know, Mark, this isn't right. I shouldn't be getting this check. He's taking it, though. And that's what most Americans, or many Americans, are thinking. It's like, wow, this doesn't make sense. I'm getting more money than what I was getting when I was working. Doesn't necessarily feel right, but I'm going to take the money, of course. And so if you have to kind of steer your moral compass. So now if you're a business owner, let's say you're a local retailer, or a local florist shop, whatever it is. I mean, because you could have gone into Stop and Shop this week or last week and buy flowers in Stop and Shop, right? But could you go to your local florist shop? No, they were closed because they weren't an essential business. Stop and Shop was considered an essential business, of course, for food, but for flowers? And you could still buy flowers? Or you could go into Target? For my birthday, I had a birthday Tuesday, and Laura got me this egg-shaped hammock that she got at BJ's. And I said, how'd you get that? She says, oh, I just picked it up at BJ's when I was there. And I thought to myself, that does not make sense. I'm not complaining. I mean, I love the egg-shaped hammock. But pool and patio stores, they can't sell the stuff that they normally sell, yet BJ's can sell it. Because they're considered essential. So there's a dilemma there. But the problem is now, let's go back to the original thought that I had here, which was a florist who now opens up that says, okay, now I can do flowers. And they say, all right, employees, come on back in. We want to have you here. We need your help because Mother's Day is a very, very busy day. And they go, I don't know if I want to come back because I can make more money staying at home. And so here's the dilemma that the employer has. The employer, in many cases, applied for what's called a PPP loan, a payment, payroll protection plan loan, that says we're going to give you money that is going to be forgiven if you continue to pay your employees with the money we just gave you. Yet the employees don't want the money because they prefer to take the unemployment income. So a business owner says, I want to open. I have the money to pay you. And then the employee says, I don't want your money. I want to stay at home. So then the employer has to now pay back the money. What's an employer to do? Because most small business owners, especially micro small business owners, your local retail shops, all that kind of stuff, many of them don't take a salary. Many of them just take profits from the business as they happen on a month-to-month, week-to-week basis. And if there's no sales in the business, they have no income whatsoever. And if they can't open and they can't sell anything, they don't have any resources. Can they apply for unemployment? Well, they could, but it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. They don't have that same kind of cash flow that a typical part-time employee would have. It's a dilemma. It's a problem that's out there. What people have to realize, though, and this is why I think all of a sudden we're going to start to creep back in the next few weeks, if we creep back into work, people are going to say, oh, maybe I'll take that job now, is did you know that after 13 weeks, that extra $600 check that people are receiving stops? Now, you continue to collect unemployment, your unemployment assistance check, which is roughly about half of what you've been making on a weekly basis. If you've been making it under about $80,000, but that $600 check, done. So all of a sudden I feel all of the people are going to say, oh, maybe I'm not so scared of this virus. Maybe I'm willing to now integrate into society because I have to, because I'm not getting that $600. It's a dilemma that we all have to face. We're wearing masks. I think we can feel pretty comfortable that more and more people are wearing masks. And I think we have to be careful also about judging others. Man, one of the things that I see these days is that we're all driving around and you're outside, you're driving by, and there's two people that are walking down the street. And maybe the two of them don't have a mask. And immediately you think to yourself, you think they live in the same house together? Why? We're judging everything these days. Because you're thinking if they don't live in the same house together, how can they be out walking without a mask on? Folks, I think we just have to focus on asking ourselves, how safe do I want to make myself? If you wear your mask, if you want to go out in public, if you want to go and do your thing, take care of yourself. Now, if you're trying to infect others, if you're out there walking without a mask and the person next to you is out there walking without a mask, that's their problem. not your problem. As long as you're wearing a mask and you're being responsible, you're doing the best you can. If you want to remain extra super paranoid about it, don't leave your house. But we have to be reasonable about everything else that's going on. We have to stop judging everybody. And unfortunately, with all the social media that's out there right now, people are flashing pictures, people are making commentary that is really harsh. And we've made this so darn personal. We have to be reasonable. Let's just take care of ourselves. You know what? Today, let's just focus on taking care of mom. It's Mother's Day. Let's focus on that. All right. A couple things that I thought were also rather interesting. A story came out this week from TSA. How many of you have been on an airplane lately? I hear crickets. Because did you know that the average number of people on an airplane these days, average number of passengers on a flight, 19 people. Man, you could really spread out, couldn't you? I mean, I wish there was 19 people on the flights that I used to take about, you know, 6 or 8 months ago. But that wouldn't be very profitable for the airline. I thought it was interesting that on a daily average, if I'm reading this right, TSA, here's the number. The TSA screened 3.2 million passengers during the month of August. Oh, I'm sorry, during the month of April 2020. TSA screened 3.2 million passengers during the month of August, a daily average of roughly 109,000 people. Last year, same month, the TSA screened 2.5 passengers on a single day in April 30th of 2019. Passenger travel is down 90 to 95% right now. But they are starting to imagine what life will be like when people return and feel comfortable to travel. How are you feeling about traveling? Would you get on an airplane right now? I mean, I actually, to be very honest, personally, I would hop on an airplane in a second. The problem is going on an airplane when you land in another state, their orders right now are to quarantine for 14 days because you just came from another state. So until that is lifted, there's really no need to travel unless it's absolutely imperative that you have to travel. But once those quarantine items are lifted, if I wanted to go visit a parent, visit a friend, go to connect up, just to frankly go somewhere else, I wouldn't have any problem hopping on a plane or a train. I don't know if I'd hop on a bus, but I'd certainly hop on a plane or a train. I mean, but I don't know. That's me. I know people think I'm nuts that I'd want to do that, but I'd be actually fine with it. But we are going to get back to traveling. Look, Disney World announced that on April 20th, Disney Springs is going to open up. Not Disney World Park, but Disney Springs, which is that shopping area that's outdoors. It's beautiful out there. And I think I said back in March when we started to initiate this shutdown, we know we will be moving forward with the coronavirus when Disney starts to open its doors. To me, Disney is the model for what the world really is when it comes to reopening the economy. If Disney can open, we can feel comfortable. Now, Disney isn't opening the parks right now, though they did announce that they're going to open Shanghai on Monday. Chances are the hotels are going to open before the parks do. Restaurants, they're going to be able to test those things. The parks are going to be a little bit different. But when the parks start to open, I think we can start to feel good that we're heading in the right direction. Now, of course, we don't want a rebirth of this virus. We want to be careful. And I think each of us can take this time to be careful. And while we're home, there's a lot of things that we can do. I'm going to take a quick break in a minute. But I want to give you a few tips on some things that you could do while you're home, while you're still at home. Because, you know, in the next weeks, maybe a month, we're going to start to get back to a traditional routine. And all the things that we say, geez, I wish I had done this while I was at home, you'll be kicking yourself over. So I want to give you a few hints and a few tips, some personal financial tips and hints that I think would be valuable to you using this time at the house. I know, look, I've been home for 9 weeks and I'm thinking to myself, where did those 9 weeks go? And man, did I miss out on some opportunities to eat better, to get some more exercise, to do some things around the house, to handle some projects. I've just been sometimes pretty lazy. I don't know about you, but it's been nice to watch Netflix and a few other shows. But so we got to take a quick break. When we get back, I've got some tips and strategies, some reasons that you need to consider updating your financial life a little bit, and maybe we can help you step in the right direction. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Shut it down, lock your doors. It's cancel culture, getting bored. Nothing left for us to do but sit at home and watch the news. We didn't spread the virus, cause we were all at home. We had nowhere to go.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, a local financial planning and investment management firm who's provided financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, my father started our firm all the way back then. I was two when he started the firm. It is amazing to me how many families, generations, clients we have continued to see and continue to visit with over all of these decades. And one of the reasons I think that people stick around and remain clients of the firm and people join our firm is because of the personal nature of the relationship that we have with our clients. One of the things that we focus on is financial planning first. Many people in this industry are more focused on making sure that you develop the right investment portfolio. Frankly, I got to be very honest, building an investment portfolio is pretty darn easy. Don't let the people at CNBC or Bloomberg or Market Watch or whatever financial news station you talk about try to intimidate you with, you need to buy this and you need to get out of that. And, you know, folks, it's really not that difficult if you're willing to be a long-term investor. One of the things that we've learned over all of these years through all sorts of good times and bad in the market, through our economies, through presidential elections, through world wars, is that sticking to a strategy and having confidence in the future of American economics is the success, is the key to your success. There will always be ups and downs. But one thing is proven time and time again is that this country is extraordinarily strong and it rebounds from all sorts of adversity, though we might look a little bit different each time we come out of it. We come out better, we come out stronger, we come out more efficient. I mean, I think about the days when there were people who were door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesmen or encyclopedia salesmen. When's the last time you opened an encyclopedia? And the thought of the encyclopedia going away was like, how would we survive? The thought of, I mean, remember, everyone had to get a newspaper. Sunday morning, here we are Sunday morning. Everybody would reach for the Sunday Globe. And it would be nice and thick. And you'd look for all of the advertisements that were inside. They would be filled with help wanted. There was two sections called help wanted that you could flip through those pages. We'd read all of the stories and find out what was going on in the world through the Sunday paper. We'd sit down and we'd read it. The Sunday paper is virtually dead. Newspapers are virtually dead. And those that are reading it are frankly people who will soon die. Sorry to say that, but I mean, the demographic of people that are buying newspapers are certainly not the 30 and 40-year-olds of America. They're the 70, 80, 90, and 100-plus community. Yeah, there are a lot of them, but I don't know that that is a future business model to be working with. We have adapted. We have changed. We've gone to electronic communications. Look how many seniors these days have relied so much on their iPad, on their laptop, on Zoom technology, on their Apple Watch, on Siri, on Alexa. We have adapted during good times and bad times. My kids were saying to me earlier that, this was a couple days ago, we were talking about how life is going to be different. Life's going to be so much different, Dad, when we get out of this virus thing. life's going to be different. But so too did we say that after 9/11. Yeah, do you remember 9/11? Before 9/11, you could grab a gallon of milk and bring it onto an airplane. I mean, you could actually carry a gun or a knife and bring that on with you. You could actually travel with a small trial size package of toothpaste. That would be okay. And you could wear your shoes when you walk through the security bridge there. But those things changed. And at first they were not the gun or the knife thing. I'm happy people aren't bringing guns or knives on planes. But we adapted and we learned to live with it. And now we don't think twice about taking our shoes off, taking our jacket off, putting our arms over our head and going through this sensor that swirls around our body, or even being patted down before we get on a plane. It's how the world has changed. Are we better for it? Are we safer because of it? I think we might be. And so, yes, through the coronavirus, as we roll out of this, there will be new standards. There will be new things that seem uncomfortable now, but won't be so much. I mean, think about the whole idea of wearing a mask. I mean, before, you know, if you were in a bank and someone came walking in with a mask, you'd think you were being held up. But now, if you don't wear a mask going into a bank, people are going to say, get out. It's going to be different. We're going to be more accepting of a lot of different things. And we will adapt to this culture. But I told you when we were coming back from this session that I wanted to give you a few things for you to think about, things that you can do while you're at home. And one of those things, because we're soon getting out of this, and we're going to head towards the end of this quarantine period. At Friedman Financial, we're ready to sit down and talk with you, to talk about your overall financial situation, or talk about any changes that you might think to say to yourself, you know what? Maybe I do enjoy the staying home thing, and maybe I'd like to accept an early retirement package if it's offered to me from my employer. Maybe I do want to think about changing financial advisors or hiring someone to give me advice during these challenging times. You begin to realize that maybe the people you've been working with in the past, they weren't communicating as well, and this is a form of communication that you like. You like to know that you're going to get some personal attention. Or perhaps you're thinking to yourself, you know, while I've been home, I've realized that there are certain people that have reached out to me and certain people who haven't. And maybe it's time to start thinking about who my beneficiary should be. Who do I want to have as my healthcare proxy? Who do I want to have serve as my power of attorney? Folks, while you're at home right now, and you can align yourself with a lot of stuff online, is to take a look at your investment accounts, your life insurance policies, annuities that you might have, retirement accounts at work, and take a look to see who those beneficiaries might be. Who are the beneficiaries on your accounts? Is it how you want it? But you need to know this. Your will is not the solution to solving the beneficiary problem. Because all of the accounts that have beneficiaries designated to them, your retirement accounts, your life insurance, annuities that you might have, a trust account, a transfer on death account that actually names a beneficiary, the people who were named as the beneficiary on all of those accounts, those are the people that are going to get the money. Making a change to your will does not change the designations on all of the accounts that you've already established. A will handles the beneficiary designations to the stuff that you simply didn't name a beneficiary for. So let's say, for instance, you have a checking account at the local bank and it's just in your name. And even though you might be married, you might think to yourself, well, when I die, my spouse will get this bank account. Well, they don't get it that day, the day of your death. That's because nobody knows that they are the beneficiary of that account, because you didn't put a beneficiary on it. And they say, well, that's my husband, or that's my wife. They're going to get the money. Well, I don't know that. How do I know that you weren't holding that money for your sister Susan or somebody else? It won't be until they actually review the will, which could be months, for your spouse to actually get that money. The stuff that has beneficiaries assigned to it, your IRAs, your life insurance, and even sometimes bank accounts. If you have a joint account or you have a transfer on death account, it says who the beneficiary would be if you died. And then it's real easy. But the stuff that is just in your name without a beneficiary designation, it can be a while before we actually look to the will to find out the solution. So folks, my suggestion to you during this time is to go through every asset that you have. Build that net worth statement. Structure it properly. Think to yourself, what do I own less what do I owe? Write it all down. What's the name of the account? Who owns it? How much is it? And who's the beneficiary? And if you don't know, call the 800 number. Go online and set it up. Make sure that you have verification, because when clients work with us, one of the big things that we do before we ever start investing money is we're going to get your financial house in order so that we're certain that if something does tragic happen to you, we know who's going to handle things, how that process of transitioning wealth and money is going to work. One of the benefits that we have at Friedman Financial is that we've been doing this for 50 plus years. We deal with death, unfortunately, on a regular basis. But we know how to handle death. We know how to have the conversation with surviving spouses, with children, with beneficiaries. We know the process. And frankly, it's not as simple as the pearly white gates and the oak rooms that you see on television that says, there's the reading of the will. Folks, I've never been to a reading of the will, and we average 18 deaths a year. That's because most assets for most people are either identified through the beneficiary designations on their accounts, and there's only a very small part that's left to the will, and there's no need for a reading of the will. Reading of the will happens when there's super wealthy people involved, when there's land and buildings and businesses and enormous amounts of jewelry and heirloom furniture. Hummels don't count as heirloom furniture. We don't have that, but I would encourage you to take this time. Take the moments that you have to go through your financial stuff. And if you have trouble doing it, if you want some guidance and some help, let us help you. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. We are comprehensive financial planners. We help you get your house in order. We help you understand where everything is and what everything is worth. We take a look at your investment portfolios, your retirement accounts, give you guidance, and even help you manage them if you'd like. Because when you approach retirement, you're not going to have a paycheck anymore. You're going to have Social Security and a pension perhaps, or one or the other. And then you'll need to rely on your other resources to provide an income stream so you can continue to live the life you want. And what we find is most people have no idea how to do that because no one ever taught us how to do that. We do that every single day. 65% of our clients receive income checks through their investment portfolio, through our office, because they know and have confidence that we can continue to deliver it to them. We have a 99% retention rate in our office. And so if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, if now's the time for you to say, you know what? I know in this time of quarantine, this is an opportunity for me to put my financial house in order, for me to start connecting with a financial advisor I listen to and trust. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We would be happy to talk with you. We can even Zoom it. However you want to do it, we'd love to talk with you. That's going to do it for me for today. I'm going to get out of here and make room for Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites. Hope you have a great day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are out there. I'm out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.